looking forward to heaven. Looking forward to heaven. And tonight, this morning is the ins and outs, mostly the outs, really, of what's not going to be in heaven or the new earth. And so that's this morning, Isaiah 25, 7 and 8. If you have your Bibles there ready, please, Isaiah 25, 7 and 8. Isaiah 25, I'll read those two verses if you want to follow along. I'll read, "And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." Galatians, I'm reading from Galatians 3, 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The Lord is blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us and care for us. Help us to only believe. If you look around, Lord, at our world today, we get so disheartened and things that we would so like to change and cannot. But Lord, we have to only believe that you are yet in control, and you are. All things are possible. Lord, it doesn't mean we're going to have a smooth sail. It doesn't mean difficult times aren't coming. But Lord, if we keep our eyes fixed upon you, may we all do that. May we not be turned aside. May we look to you for the answers. Lord, help me this morning. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. Please fill me with your spirit this day. Be with those teaching downstairs. Thank you for the beautiful Lord's Day you've given to us. May we rejoice that we serve the risen Lord and Savior. I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are some things that are not going to be in heaven. And the first, if you're jotting down three things, first of all, I see no more curse of sin. I thought about some things that I was glad when they were over and we were done with those. If you're Johnny Paycheck, you were glad when your job was done and it was done with working there. If you are paying off a long-term hospital bill and you send that last payment in, yay! I remember when you're paying off a building, sometimes I remember at Berean, we paid off the new building, we had a mortgage burning. Whoa, woo, and that is over with. And some of you probably say, I'm glad when the summer's over and you'll not talk about Pastor Tim and your little garden that amounts to a hill of beans. It's actually not a hill of beans. It's actually a round thing of beans. I forgot to make them into hills. There you go. So that's why they're not, actually they are sprouting. There's a lot. We should be grateful. No more curse of sin. As you turn into Genesis 3:15, please. I like what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said. Everything will be glorified, even nature itself. And that seems to me to be the biblical teaching about the eternal state, that what we call heaven is life in this perfect world as God intended humanity to live it. Can I just say that again? And what seems to me is the biblical teaching about the eternal state, that what we call heaven is life in this perfect world as God intended humanity to live it. We think of heaven as somewhere off this planet. I'm telling you, the Bible says we're living on this earth for eternity. We were made for the earth. The earth was made for us. And we're living here. Now, not exactly as you know, as it is now. Matter of fact, it's going to be changed. There's no more sin. But we're living here. We're not living off planet somewhere for eternity. I asked a Sunday school class who was Spock's father. His name was Sarek, I think. And no one knew the answer to that. And I can see you don't know the answer to that either. You do not watch Star Trek very much in the past. Continuing on, back to our message. When he had put Adam in paradise, Martin Lloyd-Jones says, at the beginning, Adam fell and all fell with him. But men and women are meant to live in the body and will live in a glorified body, in a glorified world. And God will be with them. That's what we are looking forward to. I'm looking for, I don't know if I'm going to be ending up on Greenup. I don't know if there's going to be a Greenup County anymore. But I don't know where I'm going to be. But I'm going to be here. And as we read earlier, and serve the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going to be in a cloud. Hopefully I'm not playing a harp. And I don't think I'll have wings. Those things. But I am going to be serving him. We should be excited about that. So under this, the no more curse, there's the beginning in 3:15 of Genesis. And I will put enmity, he's saying to the serpent now, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, Satan appeared to have ruined God's plan for a righteous, undying humanity to rule the earth. Do you see that when God redeems, it's not just mankind. He's going to redeem the universe, for when Adam and Eve fell, it was a curse that, choom, like echoes throughout the universe. God is going to redeem the universe and mankind. Yet the promise of the Redeemer, the Redeemer shall bruise the serpent's head. And by the way, that is a fatal wound. The heel can be healed. He's going to bruise his heels at Calvary. But if you cut off the serpent's head, it may flop around for a while. But that head, it's just dead. It's all, and it has a, but you cut off somebody's head, there's no coming back from that. I don't care what the headless horseman said, you can't come back from that. Anthony Holcomb says this: since one of the results of sin had been death, the promised victory must somehow involve the removal of death. And aren't you glad for that? I am so not looking forward to this week, for likely I will have a graveside service for a very kind gentleman, but never made a decision. Aren't you glad that we won't have to go through that death portal anymore in the new earth? Further, since another result of sin had been the banishment of the first parents from the Garden of Eden, from which they supposed to rule the world for God, it would seem that the victory should also mean man's restoration to some kind of regained paradise from which he could again properly and sinlessly rule the earth. In a sense, therefore, the expectation of a new earth was already implicit or implied in the promise of Genesis 3:15, the restoration of all things. What they lost, if we're sitting right now in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what Adam and Eve lost, paradise lost, sorry, is that Milton? And Revelation 21 and 22, we're getting it all back, plus some. God's plan will not be thwarted. Mankind to rule and to rule over a wonderful earth as it was in the Garden of Eden, all between chapter 3 of Genesis through the end of 20, over here in Revelation. My goodness, if they had just not eaten that fruit, we wouldn't have the rest of the Bible for the most part. They should be going on. We said, what we were made for. Do you understand? You see what I'm saying? We weren't made to live in the clouds up there. We were made for here. And to be complete, what they lost, we have to regain paradise. Regain. That's what it's about. You want to know what the purpose of mankind is? There it is in a nutshell. To have a wonderful relationship with God. They sin. There's got to be a Redeemer. He's come. People leave. And one day on the new earth, we'll have that relationship again, like it was supposed to be in the first place. Pastor, you're too wound up today. We should be wound up about this, the heaven that we're going to. I trust you're looking forward to it. Now, we know later on the scripture revealed that the person was the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, and of the house of David, and none other than Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And that no more curses sin in the beginning, and then there's the continuing. Now, our interest in the end times usually extends to the period immediately preceding and following the return of Christ. Now, if you are an amillennialist, if you're a postmillennialist, if you're a premillennialist, you're going to have a different idea about this. In Matthew 24:25, for example, 34, Matthew 25:34, prior to the millennium, I believe this is prior to the millennium, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So what is that kingdom? I believe it's the millennial reign of Christ, literally for 1,000 years on a renovated earth. Some would say, no, that would be the eternal order. But I believe there's going to be a time when Christ comes back. Why would you say that? Because clearly at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed and he has this huge army following him and he is not cast into the lake of fire until the end of the 1,000 years. I'm telling you, that is not, I don't think that is all my personal, that's not the eternal order. That is going into the millennial kingdom. By the way, the kingdom that, where's that kingdom? Exactly where it's been all along. God's plan hasn't changed. And so we endeavored to make a wall out in front of our ramp. We had that ramp built for Mom. And I like flowers. So I've somehow gotten on a flower kick this year. Wednesday night, all those flowers you saw under the car are now planted. It took Thursday. It took Friday. The wall. And so I thought, I can put a wall up here. So it's so hard about putting a wall. And I know now my family were helping, but what they did not help do for the most part was put the blocks in place on the wall, because I know what they're thinking. Oh, if it's not right, my dad's not going to like it. So we're going to let him do that part. So if it's wrong, he did it. So it's wrong, and I did it. It's not quite like it was. How was I to know you're supposed to, like, get it leveled out before you start doing it? How was I supposed to know you're supposed to add? Who knew that? It's my first one. Anyway, there we go. Things have changed. But plan B, C, D, and E on that wall, they'll make a hoop. But I tell you, God has no plan B. Plan A is still in full force, and it will be in full force till not only till the cows come home, but for eternity to come. We find him. He's not falling back. He's not abandoned what he intentionally planned. God does not throw away his handiwork and start from scratch. Instead, he uses the same canvas to repair and to make more beautiful. He doesn't throw the clay away, the songwriter said. It makes the painting's been marred by the vandal, but the vandal does not get the satisfaction. Can you imagine for eternity? You go back over here to Adam and Eve, and they fall to sin, and Satan's like, well, I just messed up God's plan good, and he can't salvage that, and look at the humanity going to where I'm going to be and where I am now, and it's not like that. His head was chopped off. He's going to look for eternity. He's going to look back and see all these redeemed ones on the new earth, the new heavens, the new earth, and he's going to just howl even louder. I tried my best to defeat God. I thought I was God. Now I know I'm not. And he is. You see how important it is? It's not like we're starting over in the new earth. It's a new Adam and Eve. It's mean. Aren't you glad he doesn't start over? You're a sinner, and boom, you're gone. Let's find somebody else, and boom, you're gone. And find somebody else, and boom. No, he's redeemed you. He's redeemed me. And it'll be me and you. Not sure about a dog named Blue, but it'll be me and you for eternity. I have songs. I like music, and not that I listen to those things. It's just, can you imagine songs, even from those songs stick in your head? For good or for ill? Yes. That's why we learn so many missionary, all these different songs at church. So those are the songs that keep coming back and not the others. I couldn't even sing the dog. That's all I knew. That's the only thing I know from that whole song, Me and You and a Dog Named Blue. I don't know who sang it. I don't know what year it was. So there we are. He's going to take this, you and I, and he's going to make a masterpiece. We're groaning. Romans chapter 8, please. We are groaning even now. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. You know the verses, most likely. Romans 8, 21, 22, and 23. Romans 8, 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm waiting for that one day to be, and my body is changed, and my sin nature is gone, and boom, I'm alive forever and ever. Ever changed. God's plan, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. This is my Father's world, expresses that. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. That's what's going to happen. We're not going to God for eternity. God's coming to us. Do you realize the church has things so wonky sometimes, and Christians don't really study the Bible, and they think, well, we're going to, we're up here. No. And God himself shall be with us and be our God on the new earth for eternity. That's the cat's meow. That is. Not somewhere up in the blue on the side, which, by the way, I believe in Psalm 48, 1 and 2, he's the elevation, the size of the north. I believe heaven's in the north. I'm not sure which heaven north, whatever it is. Could be straight, I don't know, whatever direction north is. That's where God is. And God's everywhere, but his throne. My mom and dad, up north somewhere. Not, they're even beyond Michigan and beyond Minnesota and beyond, they're even beyond the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Although that's a beautiful place, by the way, if you ever get to go. They're further than that. God's plan. God, heaven is God's home. Earth is our home. And Jesus as the God-man forever links God with mankind on the new earth. It'll be wonderful. Genesis 1 and 2 is history. Revelation 21:22 is the future. Future. So that is the no more curse of sin, the beginning, the continuing, and the ending. Back to Revelation 22, verse 3. No more curse of sin. Revelation 22, verse 3. Almost to the end of our Bibles. Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. If the Bible said nothing else about life in eternal heaven, the new earth, these words would tell us a vast amount. No more curse. What would it be like in our lives to have the curse lifted? One day we will know firsthand, and there's so much to anticipate. That's why we should be looking forward to heaven. After Adam sinned, God said, cursed be the ground for thy sake. Can you imagine now your garden never having weeds? Never having to plow it? Never having to worry about the weeds taking over? Never having those weeds that stink up your hands when you touch them? Never having those weeds that grow in your grass? And those never having all those things? No longer be thorns and thistles defying our dominion and repaying us for corrupting it. No longer will we return to the ground from which we are taken, for death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us is eternal life forever. Our welfare is inseparable from the earth's welfare, I believe. Our destiny is inseparable from the earth's destiny. That is why the curse of mankind required the earth to be cursed, and why the earth will then also be changed and resurrected. And 2 Peter 3, 10, 11, and 12 personally believe that that is, the word there is not a brand new, it's one that has been remade. Takes the same, God's not a destroyer of things. And so he takes those same atoms that make up this earth now and purifies them through fire. And then he takes those same atoms and now we have a new earth. New earth. One of the universal laws of thermodynamics is nothing new is being created or destroyed through those atoms, etc. My personal opinion, you may think, well, God's going to take a brand new. God can do what he wants to do. That's for sure. If he wants to do that, he can. Our welfare, again, is we are inextricably tied to the earth. The curse will be reversed. Christ came to remove the curse of sin and death, Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, quoting one theologian, because of man's fall into sin, a curse was pronounced over this creation. God now sent his Son into the world to redeem that creation from the results of sin. The work of Christ, therefore, is not just to save certain individuals, not even to save an innumerable throng of blood-bought people. The total work of Christ is nothing less than to redeem this entire creation from the effects of sin. That purpose will not be accomplished until God has ushered in the new earth, until paradise lost has become paradise regained. So in that, I saw a new what? A new heavens and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Not just a new earth. I think God cleansed it. It's like that, if you've seen something like the bomb that makes all the electronic devices go out. You hit it and like boom and shh, and all the shock wave just go out and there it goes and shuts down. Is it EMT? Something like that? ETF? Something like that? EMP? Yes. Thank you. Those kind of bombs, they're probably already in vogue someplace. Probably already ready to go if you need them. If somebody needs them and wants to use them. That's the idea. The curse is going to be cleared and shoom, it's gone. The removal of the curse, the people, means that people and culture, the earth and the universe will again be as God intended it to be. Now, the lifting of the curse comes at a terrible price. Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That was the cost. A very high price. It'll be a thorough sweeping of the redempting of work of Christ will bring in a new heaven, a new earth, a new order, if you would. Christ has already undone some of the damage in our hearts, but at the end, he will finally and completely restore the entire creation. And death will not simply limp away wounded, it will be annihilated. We read in Isaiah 25, 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. I like what Isaac Watts said. and the Christmas carol, Joy to the World, no more that sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as what? Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He comes to make his blessings flow forever and ever. God will lift the curse not only morally in terms of sins and physiologically in terms of sorrow, but physically in terms of thorns and grounds. Can you imagine going and planting your beans, your Roma beans, and they come up and maybe a day and you've got beans on already and they just sort of, you hold your bucket and they jump off into your bucket. And you take them in, and they snap themselves, and the water's already on, and you put them in the water, and shoom, in about 3 minutes there, and you put some sugar in there too, don't forget the sugar, put the sugar in there, and well, man, you're ready to eat up, and wow, in about 5 minutes, you go from the garden to the table. Wow, won't that be grand? I'm not sure it's going to be that way. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be that way, but I am going to be, I can tell you this, the thorns and thistles are gone. Far as the curse is found, if redemption failed to reach the farthest boundaries of the curse, it would be incomplete. Do you see that? If the curse affects everything, oh, but Pastor, is not our son running down?
Yes, it is.
Could our son as it is live forever?
No, it could not.
So what's going to happen? God's going to fix all of that. You're going to fix all of that. By the way, if you're listening to that online, you want to turn it down right there because it'll be really loud. Redemption in Jesus Christ reaches just as far as the fall. The horizon of creation is at the same time the horizon of sin and of salvation. To conceive of either the fall or Christ's deliverance as encompassing less than the whole of creation is to compromise biblical teaching of the radical nature of the fall and the cosmic scope of redemption. Do you not understand? I said snot in there somewhere. But do you not understand that if it's just a partial redemption, it's incomplete? I just redeemed. I didn't get Jupiter, and I didn't get Saturn, and we didn't get the far side of the moon. But we got, no, do you understand? It's all or none. Either we're all condemned because of Adam and Eve. Or just part, no, you understand how it works. God's redeeming it all. The curse is gone once and for all. The universe is, the curse is removed. We have never seen the earth as God made it. Our planet as we know it is a shadowy half-tone image of the original of the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the flowers in the Garden of Eden? And the bees won't sting. I had some old dry grass that for about 3 years old laying on the outside on the slough, the water slough, and Wortland, that water slough. And I was asked to remove it, and so, or not, don't put any more there. So I thought I'd remove it. So I was putting about the second load to go to the flower bed. These big old bees start coming. Well, come to find out, I realize now is their little babies are in there, the little white, yellow. One or the other, the little white bees are in there. They're growing in there. That's their babies. And so, so I sort of try to stay away from that. And so, but there they go. We find in our planet. Just can you imagine a garden with no bees that sting? Or could we have a garden with, because I had to pollinate, right? So we'll have to work on that. But God will take care of that. It'll be friendly bees. If the present earth so diminished by the curse is sometimes beautiful and wonderful, I see people in our own church who post pictures almost every single day, and they're right, the beauty of God's earth, it is beautiful. If this is pretty, wow, I can't wait to see the new earth. Wow, isn't that going to be something? I like this, and Randy Alcorn said this, earth cannot be delivered from the curse by being destroyed. It can only be delivered by being resurrected. Do you see that? How important it is that God's going to take what was lost in Genesis 1 and 2 and redeem and restore and conquer, and that earth is going to be made right. You see how it applies to me and you? You and I were sinners. We're still sinners saved by God's grace, but what was that sinful part? But we're still going to be us. How does that work? Well, I can't destroy him. I've got to redeem him. And so he comes and we receive Christ as Savior and we are redeemed. The same me is going to be without all the grouchy, crying, whininess that I have. All that, yes, one most more. Okay, the grouchy, crying, whininess I have, it's going to be gone. And over here, Revelation 21, it's going to be the new me. And without all the baggage, it's going to be the new you without all your baggage either. And you see what he had to make it work. He takes the old clay and one day makes it new. It's not like he destroys us and starts all over, as he's probably wanted to do with you and me many a time. He's changed us. So no more curse. And real briefly, the last two, a lot much shorter. No more committing of sin. Hebrews 9:26, please. Hebrews 9:26. I got my eye on the clock. I can't miss it back there. Thank you, Mrs. Adams, who brought that big clock for me to make sure I stay on time. Thank you, Vera. Thank you very much. And actually, I do appreciate that. And in all seriousness, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, please. No more committing of sin. So no more curse of sin, no more committing of sin. Hebrews 9:26, please. Hebrews 9:26 says for us here, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It doesn't say specifically, but the Bible as a whole believes. Can we just give you some common, the truthful common sense? God cannot abide sin. If we are going to live with God, we cannot have any what? Sin. That's it. We cannot. He looks at us through the blood, shed blood of Christ at Calvary even now. But in eternity, for us to walk, he walks with me and talk and tells me, if we're going to do that in a real, if I'm walking beside Christ in the garden up in the new earth, he can't walk with me if I am filled with sin. Right? God can't do it in heaven. And so we've got to have it. So the sin will be eliminated. The glorification, Revelation 21, verse 27. Revelation 21, 27. No more committing of sin. There's the elimination. There's the glorification, Revelation 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So you may have heard the saying, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll mess it up. Of course, we know there's no perfect churches, and I hope that we're honest enough to admit that each of us, we are flawed. We are a flawed Christian, ongoing correction, yes, and we're experiencing spiritual growth. I trust that you are. But I read this statement this week, I'm afraid I might sin my way out of heaven. I'm afraid I might sin my way out of heaven. Well, we know here from this scripture here that nothing that is sinful or abomination defiled can enter into heaven or enter into the New Jerusalem, etc. So in heaven, we can't be sinning. But what if I sin? What about that? Well, at first it sounds like the disgruntled church workers looking, churchgoers looking for a perfect church. And at first, how can I do this? What if I start sinning? A little time before us, we said, well, you know, as I sin, what's going to happen? So if I'm in heaven and I start sinning, what's going to happen? We're not going to sin in heaven. But pastor, wait just a minute. Wasn't Adam and Eve in the perfect situation? Yes. Weren't the angels in heaven in a place where they were? Yes, and they sinned, yes. What about those? Were they? Yes, weren't they? Yes, they were in heaven. They were in a perfect place with no tempters to tempt them. What about us? Is Satan going to be tempting me in heaven? Can I sin my way out of heaven? Consider 22:3 of Revelation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be it, and the servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And we would say, and ever and ever and ever. You have everlasting life now, Christian. Everlasting life. If we could sin with our glorified body and spirit changed, then we would be. You have everlasting life, except when you do that first sin, then you're going to hell. The rest. It doesn't say that. Sin is removed. Death is removed. They shall reign forever, the scripture says. The they in that verse are his servants who see his face and whose name. His name is in their foreheads. Daniel says in Daniel 7:8, But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. There's nothing in the Bible says, well, if you don't do this, this, and this, if you do it, you're getting out of heaven. You're not going. It doesn't say that. But I can understand. But you understand that question, though. Can I sin my way out of heaven? Well, a sin has been removed. When my body dies and my spirit goes to be with Christ, the sin part is, it's here in the ground. The body, that old nature stays right here. My new nature is, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I'm in God's presence and I can't have sin. So there, my sins have been forgiven. So here, I'm waiting. Now, this new body, if I come back to rapture the church and I go to Richmond, Ohio, and my body bursts out, a new body, and my spirit, they're joined together, then this sinless spirit joins with a resurrected body, and I am sinless for eternity. We won't be sinning our ways out of heaven. Why? Because, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And you that he quickened who were dead in trespasses of sins. We are new creatures. This new life is described as being raised up from the dead and enabled to walk in newness of life, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Something fundamental, profound, and everlasting changed in you when you received Christ as your personal Savior. I believe the residents of the lake of fire will be cast there during the great white throne judgment, and then it's going to be full. And then the redeemed ones who live with Christ, they appear forever, or whatever, down here forever, for eternity. But that is full, and this is full. And I don't think there's going to be any more repopulated. I think for eternity, the number will be finished. My personal opinion, I don't think there's going to be any more children born once the new eternal order is here. Paradise lost, paradise regained. And there should be no more curse. In his redemptive activity, God does not destroy the works of his hands, but cleanses them from sin and perfects them so that they may finally reach the goal for which he created them. Applied to the problem at hand, the principle means that the new earth to which we look forward will not be totally different from the present one, but will be a renewal and glorification of the earth on which we now live. Praise the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. No more curse of sin, no more committing of sin, and no more causation of sorrow. With closing, please, Revelation 21:3-4. No more causation of sorrow. Disease gone, discouragement gone, and death gone. Revelation 21:3. Revelation 21:3 says for us here, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, Pastor, I want that. That's the new earth. That's the eternal order. That's the old earth we're on now is consumed by fire, and now in 21 and 22, we are looking forward to that. Disease gone, discouragement gone, death is gone. How do you know that? Previous chapter, last couple of verses, 14 and 15 of Revelation 20, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. By the way, there's no coming back. If you are in the lake of fire, you are never, ever, ever coming back. If you're in Hades now, you're only going to be released for a moment at the great white throne judgment to stand before God and then to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. If I really believe, if I really acted like I believe it, if it really was the burden of my soul, we would do a lot more to warn people in love of eternity. That's the outs. No more curse, no more committing of sin, and no more causation of sorrow. Let us pray. Lord, burden our hearts. Look, it seems the time is short. Our world is so looking toward, it could be looking toward one person to take control. to lead him out of the misery they're in. But Lord, we know it's far, the difficulties here are nothing in compared to the punishment in eternity. I pray, Lord, that we would be about your business, that I would be. And I don't want to say me. I need that we would consider the words today. The promises of the new earth, yes, the promises of heaven. God dwelling with us are great. But just as surely as heaven, there's a hell in which people will spend eternity. May we share the good news with the others we come in contact with. Lord, give us courage, give us boldness to, in love, share what you've done for us. I ask all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.